O'Hara Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hara Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hara Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hara Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com. Or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and capmel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose, as your topic, fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers. Coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And welcome to another great Sunday. Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio and Sports Talk 10-4 the team. Myself, Captain Jason Prieto, is back behind the mic.
In the studio.
Neil's lost. Where'd Neil go?
He went adrift.
He's on the... He lost his Warner paddle.
He lost the Warner, and he is now adrift at sea.
He wasn't feeling good this week. We gave him a night off. And Captain Travis,
in the studio.
Full-timer. I'm the part-timer radio.
I know it, man. We've been covering the site, but it's all right, brother.
Hey, man. We got it done. Last week I originally had a double. Then the weather kept me from having a double, and then I was under the weather. Got home at 102 fever. Made a good decision. I wasn't sleeping by the time you guys were doing radio. But now
he's sitting here smashing his face with combos.
They are, hey man.
Pizzeria combos. He's got crumbs all over. You see the guy.
Good.
He's got crumbs all over his chin.
That's why you
can't
see us because we do radio.
Oh man. So have you been fishing, Jason?
Been hot, man. Yeah, I've been doing some fishing. Glad to say my stressful time of year's done with. Back on the South Shore. Got my neighbor next to me over at,
I swept his front porch for him this morning.
Yeah,
on the way
you swept my dock off, man. I was like, wow, God, this guy missed me. But, yeah, glad to be back on the South Shore and doing some fishing. You know, the tarpon as a whole this year for me on the beaches was just not good. Came back a little earlier than normal and, just kind of getting back into the summer snapper. Snook, doing some more tarpon, but not as much type stuff. I'm hoping that, with our bad run of tarpon from our main run out on the beaches and passes, that I hope are kind of our off season run, that's what I call it for me, is good in July.
Yeah. We I kind of look forward to, fishing the tarpon a little bit later in the year. We do post spawn tarpon. I like to consider post spawn. they'll move in, and a lot of those big females, a lot of the fish are a little bit bigger, that I've found, that we end up hooking on the inside of the bay. Like I said, I believe a lot of them are post-spawn fish. And again, depending on how you fish for them, I mean, I also think that some of the bigger fish, tend to stay down on the bottom, kind of trash can-ish fish where they'll pick up a big cut bait or something like that. We're out there shark fishing, but, most of the fish, we'll move in, and a lot of them are pretty hungry. They gorge on big threadfin schools and even some fry bait that'll get out there in the middle of the bay. So
they'll eat some crabs too,
and they'll eat the crabs on the flush on the hill tides, outgoing tides. If you see crabs flushing, then pretty good sign that you might want to be fishing with a crab. But other than that, we like to fish on the bottom or fish a live thread fin. So looking forward to that coming up. Hopefully comes in pretty good. And this got a couple moons coming up that should push them inside the bay. So we're looking forward to that and see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to start doing focusing on doing a lot of snapper. We're getting into that summer pattern. So I'm going to start doing the snook fishing continues to be stellar this year. A lot of snook. I've caught a lot of big snook in the last month.
Yeah.
I've really got these things dialed in, and I've switched up a little bit. I've went to more cut bait this year, and what surprised me is it's not a big secret. You use cut bait, you're probably going to catch bigger snook, but typically you don't get the numbers. But what's weird is I've been getting numbers too.
Mm-hmm.
Now what I did notice is the stronger tides they've kind of preferred the white bait has been.
A live bait.
Yeah, live bait versus dead. On the slower tides, the dead has been key, though. They're just slurping it up off the bottom. And if you really think about it, Travis, it's an easy meal for these guys. We're hitting 91-degree water temperatures this year already.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of rain, but we haven't had a lot of rain. We've had a lot of rain all at once. We haven't had the consistent afternoon showers that we typically get. So our water temperatures are I think, a little ahead of the spectrum.
Yeah, temperatures are definitely up. We're seeing it, especially fishing inshore. Not so much a concern as it is fishing out in the middle of the bay, say 12 to, you know, the 40-foot channels and stuff like that. But inside, definitely inshore, shallow water fishing, you know, I normally recommend to my clients, and we talk about it all the time, but, you know, early morning bite or late afternoon, evening bite.
Or fish deeper area.
Or fish a little bit deeper area in you know, off the bars or on the edges of the flats or some deeper mangrove shorelines. But I will say that this is the time of year that I get excited, and I've got a handful of clients, and what we like to try to do is try to put together a grand slam, which is a snook, redfish, trout, and tarpon all on the same, you know, trip or same day. And
that's
really
the grand salami.
The
there.
Grand salami, baby. And it's funny because there's only, I shouldn't say that, there's a, I would probably say about 8 months, a solid 8 months out of the year, depending on where you fish inside Tampa Bay, you can do it. Might not be the size fish you're looking for, but there's definitely juvenile tarpon around pretty much full-time, you know, full year or year-round, rather.
September's a good month.
So, you know, to do some juvenile tarpon, you can always get those. And then, obviously, snook, reds, and trout, we can see pretty much catching, you know, year-round. You might not, like, again, might not have the numbers, you might not have the size, but you can definitely find those fish, those species year-round. This particular time of the year is when you can really put together some really quality fish from each species. The trout have been kind of the tougher one to get on the bigger side, or, you know, a trophy-sized fish. But definitely redfish and snook. You've been catching the big snook. You know, we've been on some nice redfish bites and definitely some quality snook. I just wrote an article, my monthly article, about trout fishing. And what I've seen is, and me and Neil talked about it on the last couple of shows, but the early, early morning bite when the fry bait starts to bubble on the surface just before the sun comes up, a lot of trout are moving in on these bait pods, especially when you have lower water in the morning that's coming in. You'll see that the trout will stage up on one side of the bar or the other and feed a lot on those heavy bait pods. And so don't artificials, top waters, or live baits on a popping cork seem to be pretty good in the morning. So where I'm going with that is based on when and where these fish are right now, if you kind of set yourself up, if you do it right and you play your cards right, to be able to actually catch all four species in the same day, normally ending up late afternoon with these hill tides catching your tarpon. But if you can put a good 6-8 hours together in the morning through the afternoon and do snook, red, and trout, you definitely got a shot at doing some tarpon in the afternoon. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the tarpon's definitely the hardest out of that bunch. Getting a big trout is tough right now. Trout fishing's just not good in the summer. I had people say, can we go some trout to keep? I'm like, man,
it's a hit or miss
time of year.
Granted, like I said, I mean, you can catch trout, but we're not catching, you know, studs 20, 22, 24 inches.
Even 18 inches is kind of hard to come by.
Yeah, I mean, you get a handful of keeper size, I hate that word, but keeper size trout, legal size trout, which are minimum 15 inches. So we're catching an average trout, I'd say 16, 17 inches on the good side. Here and there, you'll catch one, you know, over 20 inches. But
well, the problem I have with the trout, too, is like this time of year, you can catch 50 of the ones that are under slot.
Yep.
Go get four or five that are keepers, and the kill rate's so high on them that how many of them fit 12-inch trout are you going to kill?
Right.
So it's tough. I don't want to just kill a bunch of fish to get fourth keeper trout.
Yeah, and I've found, I mean, probably one of my favorite things to do is that early morning bite where you throw topwaters.
Yeah.
Generally, you can call out some bigger fish that are going to come up and eat, you know, say a finger mullet or a larger bait, at that matter. And so by throwing a topwater plug, you seem to kind of call out some of the bigger, more active fish. But that's just kind of what I've seen.
Well, hey, guys, if you missed the show, don't forget you can catch us on podcasts every week. We download, upload, download, upload. I don't know what you call
reload.
It. Reload. We get the podcast. It's Podomatic is the app, or you can go to capmel.com on the forum. And he always loads the podcast on there, and that's our official website of the radio show. You can also check us out on facebook.com/Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. We can get all of our podcasts there, or we're on iTunes as well. One of my customers listens on his way into the fire station on iTunes, Kevin, all the time. They're a good group of guys with hooked tarpon fishing. Although he made the comment as he broke my tarpon rod. But anyhow, guys, we're going to take a little break. We get back, speaking of Facebook, we're going to be talking about some events that happened on Facebook through a group, and just kind of go over some of the stuff that we've seen and that's the unfortunate stuff of the social media, in my opinion. But right now, guys, let's take a little break and pay some bills. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040.
Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting clip. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
I just like to say that y'all rock, man.
Well, you heard the story about the rope-a-dope? Well, you're truly the dope here.
And so George Foreman, former heavyweight champ of the world. If you look at that video where he is just hitting Ollie with everything he's got, Ollie's just like doing peekaboo and chatting with him and saying things to him, and George just got so tired, and then Ollie had it.
Dan Patrick. Weekday mornings, 9 to noon on Sports Talk 1040, The Team.
Tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
Welcome back to another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio, Sports Talk 1040, The Team. Happy Sunday morning, and this is our Tides and Weather sponsored by our good friends over at Werner Paddle. Don't be up the creek without a paddle.
is that a
should be the call. That should have the outcome then. How good is that?
Don't be up the creek without a Werner Paddle.
I mean, that is good. That's
kinda
great.
It's got a good ring to it.
It's got a great ring
Neil
to
on
it.
That.
That's genius. That is genius. I wish Neil was here to hear that. But are you doing the tides and weather, Travis?
Oh, I can do whatever you want.
I got to eat my combo, so you got to take over here for a while.
Yeah, this is a combo gig.
And we're going to talk a little about our Facebook crap going on. While you're looking at the tides, I want to put a special thanks out for Alify Marine getting me in and out once again. Got the new 350 on the back of the boat. And Beagle and the boys over there got me in and out. Got my other buddy bought my old motor. When I say old, it's 3 months old, but they got him bolted up and ready to go, and mine is purring like a kitten. Now all we got to do is get, and I guess you got some work, you got some alarms going on that Yamaha dog, huh?
Yeah, those are just ringtones. Those are ringtones. Older Yamahas come with ringtones.
The ringtones. Yeah, they pre-warn you right before they blow up.
That's it, man. Hey.
Like, I'm about to go.
Yeah, I've been having some goofy stuff going on with the motor. It seems to be running fine, but definitely got it on the list to get it on the trailer and get it down to the boys at Alify and have Jesse hook up to the old computer and
magic.
See what it is, man. I'm sure it's... something little, but probably cost me an arm and a leg, so.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad, everybody. They cost us money, too, so. but anyway, tides and weather, looks like we're going to have a fairly decent. I like fishing this time of year. Normally you see a lot of water moving around this time of year, move some stuff around, get around some of these good hill tides. New moons and full moons in June and July really produce some great fishing. We're coming off of... we're going to be coming off the full moon, coming back down to a new moon, so that's 100% down to zero. Looks like you're going to have some higher water in the morning, good incoming tides in the morning. Going to be fishing some high water mid-morning. Going to have some good outgoing tides starting mid-morning, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock or so, depending on where you're at in the bay. Dumping out tides over 1.5, 2 foot, dumping out pretty good in the afternoon. So still some good tarpon fishing, good flats fishing. I'd recommend getting up early, getting out on that incoming bite. Seems to be that, especially this time of year, if you can get a good influx of water coming in first thing in the morning and you've got low water, a lot of times that water's a little bit cooler and you can fire off an early morning bite pretty good. So
get back to the dock by 11:30, 12.
Yeah.
That about 11 o'clock, that heat starts getting brutal.
Yep.
And you know, you've kind of done a lot of evening fishing. And I've never really done much of that in the summer just because I'm always paranoid of the storms. But it's a good time to fish, too. It's just you always take a chance with the storms kicking up.
You always take a chance with the storm. And to be honest with you, I mean, you're right. Your odds are worse when you fish in the afternoon, especially in the summertime, June and July. But you're on some level just as likely to get burned out in the morning or rained out in the morning, you know. What I always tell people is if you want to, and I do a lot of tarpon trips, and a lot of times when I'm fishing late in the afternoon or late in the evening, I'm tarpon fishing, generally because the hill tides or the outgoing tides seem to be, you know, and there are later in the afternoon. But it's nice because generally about 3 or 4 o'clock, you get quite a few people that kind of trail off the water. You tend to get a little bit more to yourself out there. It's normally... depending on what kind of weather you got, a lot of times you'll get a lay down in the evening where the wind will kind of lay down. Sometimes the winds will turn. It's just kind of something that happens at sundown a lot of times. And so it's something for me that I enjoy doing. I don't mind staying out a little bit later as long as the fishing's good. And generally, if you play the cards right, you can do some good fishing in the afternoon. And I always tell people weather is always a concern. Luckily this year we haven't had a lot of storms of lightning in them. Hadn't had a lot of energy yet.
Yeah, no, the storm. You know, that's what I was saying with the water temperature. The afternoon thunderstorms have not been.
It's been some rain, but I mean, I fished I think two or three tarpon trips last week in the afternoon, and we'd see thunderheads or little rainstorms come across from St. Pete, and really. We could dodge them, we could move up, we could move out of the way a little bit, and you'd actually just watch them come across, and so we were safe about it, but also we didn't see any lightning, and so we ended up staying out, but definitely if you see some lightning or you see a thunderhead, you know, take caution, and you don't want to be out there fishing in lightning, but to be honest with you, rain, and we've talked about it on throughout multiple shows, is how rain can affect fishing this time of year, especially if you can weather through it. You know, you get a cooling sensation on the surface of the water, but also an influx of oxygen based on the amount of fresh water, you know, hitting the surface. And so, especially tarpon, it's one thing where, like, if I'm going to tarpon fish and plan on fishing at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd love it to rain at about 1 or 2 o'clock. It seems that it really makes those fish get up on the surface and play a little bit better. But all in all, fishing's been good. I think we've got some slow fishing, a little bit slower fishing coming up this week, and then we get back right onto a new moon and should really fire some fish up. So looking forward to it. Weather, I'll cover weather real quick, and we do it every week. We should just record it, but it's basically, it might rain. It's going to blow a little bit. You know, that's the weather.
Yeah, we don't have.
I don't see any major storms coming
summer,
this week.
Yes, typical summer patterns. Is what's going to happen. Hey, you know, we're primarily South Shore guides. I venture over to St. Pete, but Optical Outfitters, man. You guys in the market for sunglasses? Costa Del Mar, Smith. Who else?
Smith is one of our big sponsors here on the show.
This is a family-run business. Family, as in Travis and his wife.
Yeah, yeah. Optical Outfitters, right in the Mira Bay Plaza, right there off of 41, just south of Apollo Beach, just north of the Mira Bay housing development. So if you're interested, if you're looking for some sunglasses, prescription sunglasses. Maybe you need an eye exam, get in there, do contacts, the whole nine yards. Brand new facility. Definitely get in there and take care of you, man.
Captain Danny was just over there.
Yeah.
He'll be your best customer because
he loses
glasses.
Everything. Yeah.
He's like he's an organized mess. Danny and his glasses. But, so Travis and his wife own that. I wanted to give a little shout out there. If you're in the area, stop in, get you some regular sunglasses, prescriptions, good place.
Yep.
We were talking about Facebook, Travis, and I got tagged actually on a text through and I'm not going to mention the captain's name because I just don't think that's the right thing to do. I think there was a certain popular captain down in Boca Grande, and I will mention this, the group that started the whole post, which is Save the Tarpon?
Yeah, I think it's Save the Tarpon out of Boca.
Yeah, and these guys are extreme, in my opinion. For whatever reason, there's a video of a captain, and I don't condone the video by any means. He's holding the tarpon, and the tarpon gets eaten by a shark, and he probably should let the fish, and there's no probably about it, should let the fish go. But, so they decided to post this. You know, it's wrong. The video's wrong. What he did was wrong, in my opinion, and I think Travis's opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The problem what I have with the video, Travis, not the video, but it's the class that they posted this, they really put they did a few things. And one of the sponsors is one of my sponsors. They put his sponsors on there, not knowing if they're truly his sponsors.
Right.
First problem.
In an attempt at defamation of character, basically, is where they're going.
And they put his name, which you really didn't even need to go there. And they listed a group of guides. It's not even really a group of guides. As in the 727 guides. And to me, you're making a group of guides that don't exist. When
right.
they say 727, they're considering guides that live in Tampa Bay and basically saying that they don't, you know, they don't do stuff right and they don't do tarpon right. And taking a whole group of people which they don't know, the way they posted this whole thing about this video was just horrible. And it really just shows, I mean, if you step back and you read this, just take the video out of the equation. The video's wrong, he was wrong, he should be, you know, it should be dealt with. However the FWC wants to deal with it, I'm sure it'll be the last time he ever does it. I can tell you that something like that from the embarrassment point of view. So the video, just take the video out of it. The way it was handled was just, it says what the group really is.
It was a stab. The way I look at it was a stab for exposure and for people to respond. It was a, you know, National Enquirer type presentation to get, you know, attention, basically.
You do stuff for the right reasons.
I agree.
And they did it for the wrong reasons. And just so happens that that captain is well known in the PTTS, which they have publicly stated that they can't stand the PTTS, basically.
Yeah.
So the reason why they did it, all the reasons were wrong, and how they went about it, and you know, the people that are affected around them. I'm not talking about the captain. I'm talking about the sponsors, because some of the sponsors are responding to this, because
sure.
they're even saying that this guy isn't on our – he's not a pro staff guy.
Right.
Just because somebody puts it on their website. So before you go accusing companies and throwing names out there, I think you really should do some due diligence. And it really is aggravating. And what's and then you just there's like 1,500 comments on this already, and it's just a real shame. We're going to catch on the backside of the break. We got to pay some bills here, but we'll talk a little bit more about this, because the way it's kind of going across, it's a real shame in how our society is today, and these people, you know, all it takes is money. But guys, we'll take a little break. We get back, we're going to do the Come On Man segment. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 10 for the team. We'll be right back.
I'm gonna miss her. I get home. Right now, I'm on this lake shore. Sitting in the sun, I'm sure. I walk through that door tonight. Yeah, I'm gonna miss her all the day. I've gotta buy
designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have: durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, you know what business people hate?
Stale coffee?
Ink.
Right.
We have to have it, and it's so darn expensive.
Well, Staples just cut ink and toner prices.
Really?
Add in our 110% price match guarantee, and our prices are unbeatable.
Great. Know what else every business owner hates?
What?
Paper cuts.
So true.
For unbeatable prices on ink and toner, Staples. Make more happen.
Staples will match price plus refund 10% of the difference at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores. Limited time. See store or Staples. For details.
The Come On Man segment brought to you by Alify Marine, located at 6128 Lewis Ave in Gibsonton, Florida. You can reach them at 813-671-2628.
And welcome back, guys.
Don't be the Come On Man, Travis.
It is the Come On Man.
Travis is going to be the Come On Man.
I'm always the Come On Man.
He gets so nervous bringing us in. We've got to break him, guys.
That's it, man. I'm working into it. So, yeah, we got the Come On Man coming at you by our boys over at Alify Marine.
Yes.
Beagle, Jesse, keep, good old boys, man.
They keep your boat running.
They do, man. They can keep mine running.
You and Danny. Danny's got you beat. And what difference between you and Danny? You actually have an old motor. Danny buys new motors and he breaks them. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah. I'm still kicking, baby. I'm still kicking, man.
You got whistles going off, man.
Yeah. It's ringtones.
Ringtones.
So, Jason, man, you've been off the show, brother. You got to give us a come on, man. I know you got some.
Oh, man. Come on, man. The heat. I don't even have a good one. The heat. Oh, I know what the come on, man is. I forgot. And it's on myself. That's the best part.
Those are the best. Yeah, they normally are.
Oh, my God. So, if anybody heard, and I know Kevin from the charter, he was on the come on, man, as he broke my St. Croix tarpon fish and got, and it was partially my fault. I got wrapped around the trolling motor. Fish took off one way, pulled the other, and
typical Preto charter.
Yeah, I mean, lost.
I've heard all these stories. Hey, man, who would have run the redfish tournament if I didn't chop my own fish off in my trolling motor?
No, that was my partner.
Uh huh.
That was my partner.
Uh huh.
That
hey,
was Brian.
Hey, look, there is no I in team, bro.
Yeah.
There is no I in team.
Oh, trust me. I'm the worst partner when you do something like that. And I made fun of him the whole day. It was almost worth losing because the amount of
stuff that I made fun of the whole trip. That wasn't worse than us.
Go
taking
Rodan. Rodan, yeah. Sharpen them blades up,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we got to talk to Kyle about that. Got to make them dummy proof. You got to get a guard around it. Some line guard.
A weed guard like in the bass boats.
So anyhow, so everybody knows I lost my rod. I was crying about it last show. So as we were mentioning earlier in the show, we've been using quite a bit of cut bait and live, and the snook fishing has been really good. So, you know, we're fishing some potholes on the flat, and the cut bait bite was really good. So I customer broke a line, so I'm tying the line off, getting the hook on there, and the other customer's got a fish on. Well, I had just clipped the tail of a thread fin, and so I was going to try to get the little snook off real fast, so I had the rod tied up with a bait on it, and I literally just dropped it. I just set it next, right in front of me, and the bait hit the water. And as soon as the bait hit the water, that's dead, rod does a beeline off the boat. Another St. Croix. Daiwa reel. I mean, like 15 foot in the air. Big snook must have hit it. And I was so in shock that I didn't even...
What he didn't realize was when he leaned over to land the fish, he hit the button on his trolling motor on his lanyard.
My trolling motor was actually up because the guys I had were older and they wouldn't get on the front deck. So
what are you trying to say?
Well, they kept tangling in my trolling motor. So I had the trolling motor up. That was the other problem. I went to go take off the trolling motor to chase it, and my trolling motor went down. So anyhow, rod goes.
Typical Preto
trolling. Beeline. So I'm like, what just I didn't even realize that I had baited the hook, first off. I was like, what just happened? It was like a shot.
It's just a beaky to 40 pounds.
Everybody, we're all looking at each other. Yeah, we're all looking at each other like, what just happened? I mean, the rod beeline, like 15 foot in the air. So I finally was like, oh, my God, I can't believe the rod just went in the water. So then I start trying to run my trolling motor, and it's not in the water. I'm thinking I forgot I picked it up because the rod, I thought maybe he broke the line because the rod kind of came to the surface for a minute. And I thought, it was only like a foot of water.
It's probably like a 100-pound stingray.
It was, I don't know what it was. It was big because I, so I said, well, let me put the trolling motor down. I should have jumped in the water, which I probably still wouldn't have got it. So I get the trolling motor down.
I would have jumped in. I would have swan dived right off the back of the boat.
I should have. I didn't. I thought the fish got off because the rod came up. So then I put the trolling motor down. I'm like, oh, let me go here and get the rod. The reel's going to be ruined, but at least I got the rod back. The rod just beelines it again. And I went up. I mean, this flat's big. I went up and down this flat on my trolling.
Chasing your rod?
I never found it. I thought he's going to get tired. Like, he's going to get tired. I'll jump in and grab it. Never found it. I don't know what it was, but it was big.
I'm going to get you a set of flugels for your rod.
Oh, my God.
Just tie a big flugel.
Come on, man. So I've lost two. I broke a St. Croix and then lost a St. Croix all in 3 weeks. $160 rod apiece.
That a boy.
Done.
That a boy.
So,
that's right. I've had a couple of clients just snap reels off in their hand here lately.
Yeah, well.
I had to come get some reels from you.
Yeah, and you complain about them. What's up with that? How's your reels?
They suck.
Yeah. So that was the come on, man. But the second one is the heat, man. It's brutal.
It has been hot, man. Whew, it has
man.
Been hot. And
we need a little. That little rain.
It
cools the air mass down.
Well, and it's funny because you get to the point where I'm from here, you're from here, it ain't no thing. Rainstorm coming, I get people go, well, what do you think's going to happen? We got a 30% chance of rain.
Yeah,
that's
Florida.
Nothing, man.
Yeah,
it's got to get up to 80, 90 for me to blink an eye, you know? But the biggest thing is, and I always say this, is you don't know till you go. I mean, I've had it where, again, that's why I kind of like that little late afternoon bite. If you can get the time in, you can get that window. Because a lot of times, 1 or 2 o'clock is when our rain rolls in. And believe it or not, sometimes, depending on how fast the storms are, depending on how windy it is, and what direction we've got wind, it'll blow it right through the South Shore area. Where sometimes it won't even rain, or maybe it'll stay on land, or maybe it'll stay over on St. Pete's side. Somehow, Tampa Bay has a weird meteorology thing going on where I've watched storms, man, where you're going, oh, my gosh, we're fixing to get whacked. And you look behind you, and it just fizzles out as it comes across the bay. So, you know, I kind of don't really pay a whole lot of attention. I know it's going to come. I know we're going to have some issues with it if it shows up at the bow of the boat. But other than that, you know, I like to go fishing, so... So we give her all we got, but But that's what the weather's going to do. You know it is. So, but anyway, getting back to, we kind of got off track there with Jason's rodeo stories, but we were talking about the tarpon, and I kind of wanted to throw a couple words in on that. I actually know the captain involved in this whole ordeal, and not to play the devil's advocate, but I can really see both sides of this thing. It's unfortunate that it was brought to the public the way that it was. Not that it shouldn't have been, or it should have been, you know, censored on any level or anything like that. The action that took place, I don't think is professional. In saying that,
on any level,
on both sides of this game. And so, for me, I look at the captain and I go, you know, what could he have done different? Or if I was in his position, because that's really the only position I can put myself in.
Well, let's go ahead and clarify this. That tarpon was dead whether he held it or not.
The tarpon was probably going to be eaten by sharks regardless of what took place. If there's 10 to 15 bull sharks zoned in on a stressed or a distressed tarpon, chances are he's not going to make it. Even if you think fully revive a fish, when you drop a fish down in Boca Grande Pass, if you're in the pass, you're looking at, you know, close to 60 feet, depending on what hole you're in, that fish has got a long way to go to get down to get safe, whether it's on the bottom or get back in the pot of fish to try to get away from any predators.
It was handled wrong. You let the fish go and try to have a chance to survive.
I agree.
By holding
him. So that's where I was kind of going was, if I would have been in his position, what would I have done different, and how would the outcome, you know, may have been? And for me, I think where he failed was not just letting the tarpon go. I think if he would have just let the tarpon go, even if it would have got mauled right in front of the boat, there's hundreds of those videos where the guy releases the tarpon or the guy's trying to land the tarpon and a big bull shark, hammerhead something, comes in and eats the tarpon. You don't see those videos being posted and bashed and everything else. You might. Not on a personal, you know, like I said, stab level as we're seeing here. And I think it's just because of the way that it was played out in terms of letting the tarpon or letting the shark grab a hold of the tarpon and trying to hold on to it, you know, and the tone and the environment around the situation wasn't like, oh no, let's save the tarpon. It was more like, oh ha, this is pretty cool, let's watch it let the shark eat it. And so I think, like, if you take that video and you take the voice out and you listen to it without the voice, I think it has less of an impact. I think when you add the people's voice and context into the video, it makes it that much worse.
Well,
you know,
the fact
because
that
of
the
way everybody, you know, was reacting to it. You know?
The way he had the tarpon held too didn't help. But listen, the video, that's fine. It was the way the Save the Tarpon group or whatever
attacked him.
They did personal attacks. The video attacked him enough. Like, you didn't have to go, and you attacked a group of, they're called the 727 guides, referring to people in St. Pete Fish in Boca Grande. Because some of the guys, I hate to bust your bubble, but half them guys are 813. They live in Tampa. They don't live in 727.
Yeah.
So you're not even right, first off. Second off, you're labeling everybody that fishes over there, which is wrong. I mean, on so many levels, that the way they worded that was just wrong. And it just shows that group is just so extreme. You know, they're way off in left field. And the only reason why they're getting stuff done is because they got people backing them with money.
Well, that's how anything gets done.
Yeah,
especially
any kind of
legislature or government or any kind of a push like that.
We have to deal with this stuff through the Florida Guides Association, and you have to be tasteful on how you handle stuff. I mean, you can't just...
It was very unprofessional, like you said.
For a big group, for a huge group.
Yeah, on both sides of the game.
And it was not condoned. I'm not condoning the video. I'm just... It really... I could not believe how they handled it. I was like, this is like the worst... It was like just some random guy just bashing them. But it was an actual huge group that has a ton of money. It's crazy. It's like, how can you sit there and put that... Like the way you did it, it's not. It doesn't even look professional. Doesn't read professional. Doesn't. It doesn't. Nothing about it is professional.
So, anyhow, guys, we'll take a little break. We get back, we get the captain's tip of the week. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040, The Team. We'll be right back.
Catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting clip. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Friedo. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Okay, here we go, people.
This is The Herd.
Where are you again?
With Colin Cowherd.
If you really just live by a basic mantra, like be responsible for your actions. You know, my wife always says, don't go where you shouldn't go, and don't do what you shouldn't do. I'm just not going to go with five single guys to Vegas for a week. Don't go where you shouldn't go, and don't do what you shouldn't do. If you look at all Draymond Green's issues, I cannot believe how many of you are blaming LeBron for Draymond Green's punch to the nether region. Draymond Green is in the situation caused exclusively by Draymond Green. And all of you today are standing up and backing Draymond Green.
No.
This situation is based on Draymond Green against Michael Beasley, Stephen Adams, LeBron James.
This is The Herd.
Sports Talk, 1040 The Team, weekdays from 3 to 6.
I leave the radio on constantly.
Sports Talk, 1040 The Team.
We have you covered all week long.
Hi, I'm Dan Patrick. Glad to be back in Tampa Bay, weekdays, 9 a.m.
Sports Talk, 1040 The Team, Tampa Bay. Powered by NBC Sports.
Hey, it's Gene Simmons. You're listening to Sports Talk, 1040, right here. But you knew that, didn't you?
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by PowerPole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to PowerPole.com.
And welcome back to another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show. We're here with you on 1040.
Don't look at me, man. I can't look at
you. We got this spiel. See, I'm trying to, like, fall in, man, but you guys got all these things memorized.
Gee, we
got
to get them some, like, background. Like, we got to make it a big event when he brings us in, like, some drum rolls.
I need, like, a teleprompter.
Yeah.
Some hot chicks.
Oh, God. Now you start sounding like
Hooters girls. No, Strike Three Fishing Team.
Yeah. Yes, there we go. There we go. There's a big team, too.
Oh, man. Captain's tip. Are we sure they want our tips?
Yeah.
Has anybody actually followed him?
No. Hey, you know, the captain's tip of the week is don't bash people on Facebook if you don't know what you're talking about.
Man, I tell you, it's
crazy.
You know, it is crazy, man. And you know, and it's one thing. And Jason, I don't get to talk about you enough. And you know, you've helped me a lot coming up in the business, and I appreciate it. And you've taught me a lot of good things as far as how to run the business, and you know, put me in the right direction as far as meeting a lot of contacts, and even you know, invite me to come do the show. And one of the things that early off when we first met and got to talking and stuff is one of the things you told me is and I've kind of kept it to heart is the only thing you have in this business is your name.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I see stuff like this happen, and we had a kind of a conference call on the way over in the truck with another buddy of ours, and he talked about a really close related event that took place that really kind of destroyed another guide's reputation and business and livelihood over a single event. And stuff like this is why. And it makes it tough, especially when somebody comes at you like that and attacks you personally, attacks your name, and especially when it's part of your business and part of your livelihood. And so,
and if it's not, I mean, not so that wasn't true, but what if it's not even true? Like,
right.
Anybody can go on anywhere and
exactly.
put something anymore.
Exactly.
And everybody will, and if it's negative, it's going to blow up. And then, you know, I had it happen to me. And matter of fact, it was on CaptainMel.com and like five forums. And I think I know who did it, and I could never prove it, but and you know who it is too.
Mm-hmm.
And they had posted on forums, you know, about me keeping illegal snook, which is total bogus. And the funny thing was, it actually backfired on whoever it was. For one, they just started posting on the forum, so they had one post, and the one post was bashing me.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was, they said they seen me keeping, like, a bunch of illegal snook and putting them in, like, the post was so bogus. It was kind of like, you know, like, unbelievable.
Mm.
Like, they didn't even make it sound. So anyways, I've had it happen to me, and it's a real bad feeling that when you really didn't do anything and somebody's accusing you, and fortunately for me, you know, I knew Neil. He pulled it down. Actually, he pulled it down before I caught him because he knew it was bogus, and this is before we did radio together. And a couple of the other moderators, I got in contact with, and I was made aware of it from not another guide, but just a guy that knows me through fishing.
Right.
And he sent me a message on Facebook. He said, you need to look at this, man. Somebody's trying to trash you.
And it's big, and, man. I mean, it's my wife goes through it. You know, in her business, we've talked about, you know, optical outfitters. My wife's an optometrist, and we started up a small business in Apollo Beach and, you know, really tried to bring something to the community that's valuable and close and you know, really provide something quality to the community. And whether it's a price, whether it's this, whether it's that, you know, there's all these groups out there, and one voice is strong enough, but when you have a lot of people that are involved, it's amazing how much power and backing it can actually have. Even though, like you said, whether it's false, untrue, whatever it is, but it's a wave, you know, and then you get people riding a wave, bandwagon, whatever you want to call it, and it can really hurt somebody, especially when it's not true. Now, on the flip side, you know, there's a lot of good things that happen because people get involved and they, you know, are on the right side of the fence, but I think the advice, or at least the way that I would like to present it, is everybody stand back, look at it, look at the situation. If you don't understand, and you've never been tarpon fishing or been sharked, then you don't have any business commenting on this, you know, situation.
That's a big problem in the fishing industry.
Because
now,
most people don't tarpon fish, never tarpon fish Boca Grande particularly, or probably never even caught a tarpon. It happens. It happens a lot to people that are, you know, doing the right thing and that they won't get bashed for it. But it's an unfortunate event. And, you know, looking at it from a guy's perspective, I really hope that, you know, he learned some valuable lessons from it. And then from a guy to a guy and a fisherman to a fisherman, I hope that an event like this doesn't cause him to, you know, stress or lose business or anything like that. But I do hope that it's an eye opener to him on how what you do each day, what we do each day, can impact us for the rest
of
our lives and our business.
Something aggravates you. You gotta kind of be.
And it's something that I've really kind of learned over the last, you know, 6 years of guiding and, you know, being a professional fisherman. So.
Well, and you just said the key word, being a professional fisherman.
Yep.
Professional. And you have to be a professional. And some days it takes you not losing your cool on the boat when you really have every right to. And I just kind of give them that look, and then I just, people say, people might say, well, you're kind of quiet or whatever. I get aggravated out there, and I just say, you know what, I tell myself, you can't fix stupid.
Yep.
And sometimes you just can't. People are stupid, and you're not going to change that. Why even get in an argument with them?
And you can't give them the ammunition, because what ends up happening is, you know, we're all humans. We're all people. We've all been in confrontations. We all get mad. We've all yelled at somebody for doing something stupid. But half of us, or most of us have never been recorded. Record it and have it put on a social media site and let and open it up to 10 billion people. Yeah. And off of that one event, let them make an opinion about you. And if it's not what you want exposed or the real side of you, it can be a real bad situation. And yeah. So,
and we,
you know,
we've all done
we do our best to not show that little bit of dark side that lives in all of us that we know is there. But unfortunately, you know, some guys get hit with a video or a recording or a picture that in that particular point in time they were doing the wrong thing. But
doesn't make them a bad person.
Doesn't make them a bad person.
Makes them human. It makes them human.
Exactly.
They made a mistake.
Exactly.
And so, you know what? They probably, if depending on the size and how bad the mistake was, they probably deserve some of the bad
sure.
stuff that they're going to get from it. But keep in mind, we're all human, and I can promise you, everybody that's commenting on that video, and I'm not condoning the video, but we've all done something wrong or stupid that we shouldn't have done one time or another. You know, the video is what it is. My biggest issue was how the group handled it. I think an organization...
The way it was brought to attention.
The way it was brought to attention was just horrible. And again, people were just... And that's Facebook, that's social media. You're going to get people coming and have no clue. They don't even tarpon fish. They've watched a YouTube video and they think they know. I've seen some captains that were on TV of a tarpon getting eaten by a shark, and I would have done stuff different. I don't really accuse them, but typically if you have a shark on your fish that you can physically see, a lot of times I'll try to break the fish off, and then you throw the motor in reverse real hard, you throw a bunch of air up, so you kind of... My wife lost the tarpon 2 years ago. She fought it for an hour. We're in 12-foot of water. A hammerhead about 13-foot come up, and the hammerhead actually broke the line. And it was all within like 5 seconds. Otherwise, I was going to break it off. And I threw the motor in reverse, and the shark couldn't see whether the tarpon shot off and actually saved the tarpon because me throwing the motor in reverse.
Does that mean you're part of Save the Tarpon?
I'm part of Jason Save the Tarpon. So my point being is, you know, try not to be so opinionated out there. Give people the benefit of the doubt. I can promise you, us as guides, we have a target on us. It's a target that I'm willing to take. We have to take, but don't always want to yell at somebody or put a video of somebody and there's trust me, there's plenty of guys out there that deserve every bit of what they get, and we know them. There's other ones, maybe they had a bad day, you know. Just and
made a wrong decision.
Same thing with us versus regular fishermen. You know, we get aggravated. I mean, you think you get aggravated as a recreational guy. Try doing it for a living. I mean, when you do it for a living and you know how it's supposed to go down and you constantly deal with it every day, it's a tough thing to swallow every day. But it goes with the territory and the business. But anyhow, guys, it's been a great show. I'm glad we were able to cover that, bring something different to the table. Travis, real quick, what are you going to do this week?
I'm fishing this week. I'm looking forward to doing some tarpon fishing. Hopefully stay away from the sharks. Well, we fish where it's not too bad.
No.
But looking forward to doing some inshore in the morning and following up with some tarpon in the afternoon. And one of the things, too, I just wanted to shout out real quick, Jay, before we forget, is we do have the fishing school coming up.
Yes.
Which is something that we're getting prepared to put together for you guys. So if any of you guys are interested, we're going to be having some information on that. Probably blast it out on CaptainMel.com and also on our Facebook page, Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Facebook page, and probably even Tampa Fishing Outfitters Facebook page and social media outlets. So look forward to that coming up. Going to get some stuff planned on that. Going to get you guys some goodie bags put together and start getting a hold of some of our captains we're going to bring in. If there's anybody that you'd like to hear from or like to learn some information from, go ahead and comment on our Facebook page. Maybe get something going and we can maybe round up some good guys for you guys. And that's about all I got. But
well, guys, until next week, we'll be back same time, same place. Actually, we'll be giving you not next week, a week after
iCast.
We'll do an iCast show. But tight lines and catch them up.
Across the field where the creek turns bad by the old stumble road. I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh.
to another level.
Your home for fantasy sports and information.
WHBO, Dallas Park,
Tampa Bay, Sports Talk 1040, the team. Powered by SportsTalkLiona.com.